nice time? Yeah. You want to ask? Okay. Yeah? Depending on our karma, the soul will take another form. No, we can't take that example. Our friend is giving the example that if you have a mango seed and you sow a mango seed, always you will have a mango tree, and from that tree you will always get more mango seeds. So how come the soul changes into from one species to another species? Now over here, first of all, as far as the other species are concerned, there is no karma for them. They just evolve. You know, the natural evolution. When we talk about karma, karma only pertains to we human beings. So therefore, depending on our karma, we change our bodies. So yes, you are right, as far as the other species are concerned, they just live whatever stipulated time they have to live in that particular species, and they move on to further, higher up species, and then higher up, and like that, the highest is the human form. And only in the human form, we'll discuss that, the law of karma is applicable, not in the other species. Huh? Okay, so just a short recap. Yesterday, what was the topic? Who am I? Is there life after death? The science of reincarnation. And in our previous sessions, we began with taking up certain proofs. How can you prove that the soul does exist? So what is our real identity? First, what is the premise? We are not this temporary body, but we are eternal spirit soul. And the first proof which we took yesterday to establish the existence or know about the existence of the soul. What was the first proof? Common sense, and then intuitive understanding, consciousness, which is the symptom of the soul by which we can determine that yes, there is the presence of soul. Then near-death experiences, these studies which are going on, then past life memories. And then we understood that how the soul is unchangeable, whereas the body keeps changing. The soul cannot be killed by any weapon or burned by fire, etc. like that. That verse from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But then, we are not God, but we are belonging to God. We are God's apostrophe as we belong to God. And we are same in quality with God, but not in quantity. So then the question comes that my real identity is soul, and one of the definitions of soul in our revealed scriptures, the soul is called Satchit Ananda. Sat means it is eternal, Chit means it is full of knowledge, and Ananda means full of bliss. So if that is the nature of my soul, it is Sat Chit Ananda, then why am I suffering? Why, first of all, this material world is designed in such a way that practically at every step I have to just take care of myself to remain happy. Naturally, I am always miserable, but somehow or the other I have to make sure that I am happy. So then, the question for today: why do bad things happen to good people? And it's a very, very important topic. All of these topics, this is one of the most important topics, because I've always found many questions pertaining to, because it's very much practical living in the 21st century in this age of Kali Yuga. We experience so many miseries, calamities, problems in our life. And we don't intend to. get into those problems. We don't want it. But still, and also, we haven't done like so much of a big sin so that, you know, we should be suffering all that. So that's the question, you know. Why all these bad things are happening to good people and especially me, what wrong I have done. Now, this particular title for today's session, it came about from a book. There is a book entitled like this. How many of you know? There is a book, it was one of the best sellers, I know, during its time. So, this gentleman, Mr. Harold Kushner, he is the author of this book. And this book is entitled, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. This is the cover page and it is written over here. The inspirational best, one of the best sellers, over 4 million copies sold, Harold S. Kushner. Now this gentleman, he was a Jewish rabbi. You know who a rabbi is? It's like we have our Pandit Purohit, you know. So the Christians, they have their priest, and the in the Jewish tradition, they call it a rabbi. So very much staunch believer in God, being a rabbi, like kind of a priest. But his 7-year-old son died of this disease called progeria. You know, progeria? What is progeria? Who knows? Yeah, premature aging. So the body or age of the person might be, say, 7 years old. But then, the symptoms on the body of that 7-year-old child would be that of a 70-year-old man. That's called progeria. Huh? Pa. Okay. Thank you. So, progeria. Now, when Harold Kushner, when he experienced such a trauma in his life, so he was questioning that, what wrong did I do? Or more than that, what wrong did my little son do? That, you know, he, of all people, you know, I was God's man. Of all people, my son had to die of this, you know, terrible disease, progeria. I was, you know, surrendering my entire life to God and everything about whatever my existence was, all, you know, surrendered unto Him, and this is what He gives in return. Huh? Very natural, this kind of expression which one might have. So then he wrote this book. Now there was, during that time, another person and his child, 14-year-old child, died of cholera. Now this person was a staunch Christian, but his 14-year-old child died of cholera, and he became a total atheist. Now in this book, Harold Kushner is kind of striking a compromise between theism and atheism. And you know, the conclusion of this book, I'll speak about that. So, Harold Kushner, when such a tragedy happened in his life, he kind of, because he was a rabbi, so he didn't totally become an atheist. So, he kind of struck a compromise between atheism and theism. But this other gentleman, he totally became an atheist. And he was the famous Charles Darwin. All of you know this person, Charles Darwin. You know, the Darwinian theory, the theory of evolution, how we all came from monkeys, that kind of stuff. Vanar Gotra we are from. So that was Charles Darwin. Now, what was the conclusion of Harold Kushner when he wrote this book? So in his book, he says, in conclusion, the first thing that he takes all the qualities of God, like we were discussing past sessions, the different qualities of God, Bhagavan, like that. So he says, God has this one quality, omniscient. What is the meaning of omniscient? One who is all knowing. That's omniscient. Omnipotent means one who is all powerful. So that is omnipotent. Omnipresent means one who is present everywhere. So he is writing in this book that God is defined as a person who is omniscient and also omnipotent. But I don't think that he simultaneously possesses all of these attributes. So he might be omniscient knowing that my son is going to die of progeria, but he was not powerful enough to save my son. So he might be omniscient, but not omnipotent. You know, he also has his own limitations. You know, there should be some respite given to him. He has to control the entire creation. So, Bechara Bhagavan, you know, like that. Then, further he says, if we take that he's all powerful, he might be omniscient, all powerful also, but he might not have the mercy aspect in him. Daya nahi hogi, shakti hogi, gyan hoga, lekin us Bhagwan ke andar mere putra ke prati daya nahi hogi. He might not be all merciful, he might be merciless. So like this, he might be all merciful but not then omniscient. So all of these, you know, he's like essentially saying, is what you can read now. We have put unlimited faith on a limited God. This is what essentially Harold Kushner is saying in this book, when bad things happen to good people. We have put unlimited faith, andhashraddha humne dal di hai, aise vyakti ke upar, sara apne ap jeevan dal diya uske upar, lekin wo vyakti simit hai, he is limited. So, this is how this title has come about, when bad things happen to good people. So, what happens is, whenever untoward things happen in one's life, and yes, definitely, so you just open the newspaper, you know, the news channel is filled with, you know, people dying, earthquake, floods, you know, terrorist attacks. And always what happens is, then the blame game is played. That's called the blame game. So immediately the finger, where it goes? Finger goes up over there. कि दुनिया बनाने वाले अगेन क्या तेरे मन में समाई समो आई ओनली रिमेंबर दैट वन कीप रिपीटिंग दैट सो देन मे बी वी स्टार्ट प्लेइंग फर्स्ट यू नो दैट इट्स बिकॉज ऑफ द सिचुएशन दैट आई एम इन दिस पर्टिकुलर ट्रेजेडी इट्स बिकॉज ऑफ अ सर्टन प्लेस यू नो बॉर्न इन इंडिया इसलिए इतना दुख भोग रहा हूं अमेरिका में अगर पैदा होता कितना सब कुछ सुख शांति का जीवन होता. देन सर्कमस्टेंसेस यू नो पीपल ये उसके वजह से पड़ोसी है ना वही जीवन बर्बाद कर रहा है मेरा. पीपल टाइम फैक्टर हाँ मेनी टाइम्स इट्स टाइम फैक्टर सीधा वो नसीब को कोसने लगते हैं ये तेरी तकदीर ही ऐसी है मेरी तकदीर ही ऐसी. वन पर्सन वेंट टू वन एस्ट्रोलॉजर एंड ये एस्ट्रोलॉजर सारी कुंडली देखने के बाद बोलता है साढ़े साती लगी है पूरी बहुत भयंकर साढ़े साती लगी है तो 500 रुपया दे दो ताबीज दूंगा सब ठीक हो जाएगा. और हम बोला 500 रुपये नहीं 500 रुपये 400 नहीं अरे 200 100 50 तो है नहीं 50 में नहीं 5 रुपया मैंने नहीं 5 भी नहीं है अरे तो जा शनि भी क्या बिगाड़ेगा यार तेरा. सो या ऑल दीज डिफरेंट फैक्टर्स देन दे कम अप I'll tell you on this, this real incident which took place. This family from Scotland, you know, in UK, Scotland. So this one family from Scotland, and for many years, this whole family was religiously, very honestly doing their prescribed duties, you know, the father, the mother, and children, everyone. And to acquire enough money that they wanted, that they should settle in America. Leave Scotland, settle in America, and that was not a very, you know, complicated goal, or definitely not something very sinful. They just wanted to settle in America, and they religiously did their prescribed duties, earned whatever money, and they were all set to finally now leave for America and settle there in America. And the day they were about to leave for their journey, the son was bit by a rabid dog. Dog having rabies. The son, the family was bit by a rabid dog. And he was, what do you call that, quarantine. And he was not allowed. And the entire family then couldn't go. And the father and the mother, they went to the church and they started cursing God. They started blaspheming God, criticizing God like anything. What the hell are you? What did you do? What wrong did we do? For so many years we were, you know, religiously going to the church and praying to you, attending our masses and all that. And this is what you give in return. But just 2 days later, the same people again went to the church and started thanking God. We're very sorry, whatever we spoke. Extremely sorry. Take back our words, and you know, you are the most merciful and all that. What happened in just 2 days? They were to board the Titanic. They were on board, and you know what happened to Titanic. So, here and now, one person is thanking God, and those who are on board were cursing God. God is confused. Kiska bhala kare, kya kya kare? So, herein, we are talking again that, you see, when such things happen, it's natural again that when things go beyond our control, who is in control, we look for that person and start putting our fingers upon. So, I have another beautiful this episode from this gentleman's life. Who knows him? Arthur Ashe. He's no more. He was a champion tennis player. Won Wimbledon over here. He's holding the Wimbledon trophy. So, Arthur Ashe. And Arthur Ashe died of AIDS. And he was so famous, he had a big fan club. And when the huge fan club, when they came to know, when it was divulged this news that, you know, he has AIDS. So there were so many letters written to him, you know, like. And there was one letter which was written, which there's only one letter Arthur Ashe replied back. When the world came to know that he's going to die of AIDS. So this one letter in which this person, this fan of Arthur Ashe, is asking that why God chose you of all people to have this disease. You know, he could have chosen any bum, any, you know, unwanted person, you know, there are so many. Even if he would have chosen me, I wouldn't have minded. But why did he choose you of all? You are such a, you know, talented tennis player and so famous, and I so much adore you, admire you. Why did God choose you to die of this disease, AIDS? That was the question. So now he is answering, Arthur Ashe's answer. He wrote, every year, 50 crore people on this planet, they begin to play tennis every year. Out of those 50 crore, only 5 lakh learn how to play. So 50 crore they start, but only 5 lakh learn how to play tennis. Out of those 5 lakh, 50,000 only, they learn professional tennis. Out of those 50,000, only 5,000 enter the Grand Slam. If you know Grand Slam, the Australian Open, the Wimbledon, the US, the French, you know. So only 5,000 they enter the Grand Slam, out of which only 50 qualify for that coveted Wimbledon championship. And out of those 50, obviously only 4 reach semi-finals, only 2 reach finals, and only 1 holds the trophy. And that year, he was holding the trophy. So he is asking the question to this person who wrote the letter. Why me? Huh? What was his question? The fan, he had asked the question that, of so many people, why did God choose you? So Arthur Ashe's question, of so many people who started to play tennis in that year, why did God choose me to hold the trophy of Wimbledon? So how many times when good things happen in our life, we question. You pass IAS exam, you know, become an IAS officer. Do you go to the temple? Bhagavan, mere ko hi kyun chuna aapne? Kitne sare aur baithe the, unko kyun nahi chuna? Mere bagal padosi ko kyun nahi chuna? Ulta kya hota hai? Padosi agar IAS, usko kyun chuna? So when good things happen, yes, if we are following the logic of asking God and questioning God or accusing God, then yes, when good things happen, are we doing the same? Arthur Ashe, he wrote that one answer to only this one letter which he had received. So, now we shall understand the 5 topics which are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Again, this question still remains. Okay, why do bad things happen to good people? It's not that the session is over now. No, still. So we'll try to understand now. By understanding the answer, we will get when we understand the law of karma. So Bhagavad Gita has these 5 topics which are discussed. The broad categories. Bhagavad Gita means these 5 topics. Ishvara, God, Jiva, living entity, Prakriti, the material world in which we live, Kala, the time factor, and the law of karma, activity. So if anyone asks you, what is Bhagavad Gita all about? These 5 topics. Bhagavad Gita is all about these 5 topics. Now, my dear friends, how many of these 5 have we discussed up until now? Ishvara, Jiva, we have discussed only 2. So today we are going to discuss the rest of the 3. We are going to discuss Prakriti, Kala and Karma. Because we have to get the answer of the question by understanding the law of karma. And in order to understand the law of karma, we have to understand the time factor and we have to understand Prakriti. So therefore, now we will begin first with this material world. Like there were some questions that why then this material world is designed in such a way? What's the reason? What's the origin of this material world? So first we'll begin with Prakriti, this material world. So in Sanskrit it's called Prakriti. And in the English you have material world in which we live. So it is explained in our Vedas, this material world or material nature, it comprises only 1/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. Which means 3/4 of His creation is the spiritual world. So just imagine now this 1/4 of the creation appears to be so big, huge. What to speak of the 3/4 of the creation of the Supreme Lord, which is the spiritual world. You know, all the Vaikuntha planets and all the other celestial planets. We are not talking about heavens. Again, heavens, Swargalok and all that, they all are within the 1/4 material world. They are still in the material world. But beyond that, beyond this river Viraja, it is explained, is the Mahesh Dham, the Dham of Lord Shiva. And that from there on, the spiritual world, which is 3/4 of the creation of the Lord. So, still, the question is there, okay, you know, what difference will it make, you know, if the spiritual world is 3/4 creation. Now I am in this 1/4 creation, and this 1/4 creation appears to be so messy to me. So, what about that? Now, let's begin with this question in trying to understand the prakriti, this material world. Imagine all of you are in the committee, the city planning committee. So you are planning out a city. So what all things would you include when you would plan a city? Okay, one by one. Infrastructure means? Okay, residential, then roads, hospitals, schools, plumbing, electrification, temple, good, entertainment, what else? Who said that? Jail. Okay, let's take this now. Jail. So how many of you would plan out a jail before the, you know, inmates come in? Would you plan out a jail? Yes? Sure? But abhi tak to koi kaidi nahi aaya. Pehle hi jail bana denge. Huh? Kyun? आएंगे ना मतलब अब तो मतलब आपने पहले से अनुमान लगा लिया है कि भर्ती होगी इसमें बहुत अच्छी से भर्ती होगी कोई कमी नहीं रहेगी यहाँ या मेंटल हॉस्पिटल ओके सो हियर इन व्हाट आई रियली वांटेड वाज जेल नाउ इन संस्कृत This jail, the word for jail is durga. Dur means difficult and ga means to come out. Just like jail is a place which is difficult for the prisoners to escape. It's a difficult place. So, see, this material world is called durga. And therefore, our Vedas, they explain that this material world is compared to a prison house. And then who are we? We'll discuss about that. So this material world is... Now, you see that we understood that Prakriti is 1/4 creation of Krishna. You know, the entire creation. It's just 1/4 of the entire creation. So you will find that how much space the jail occupies compared to the other city. You know, that much proportion. It's not that you will find jail hi pura, city bhara hua pura jail se. No, there is one corner you will find, yes, jail is there. And there are some people inside the jail. And then there are people who are outside, who are free, free citizens. And they have their, so they are also citizens. But they have committed some crime because of which they have been given some special place. So, material world, which is called Durga, for this reason. And then, who is the jailer? Durga Devi. So, the meaning of Durga means, she is the jailer of what? This material world in which we are. And she carries this what? Trishul. So, it has three shools It's not just, you know, some kind of a decoration which, okay, this looks good, you know, photo mein acha lagega. Like today, one of my friends sent me one SMS. Just today I received it. So Lord Shiva, you know, the Shiva Parivar. So early in the morning, just like any family is getting ready, you know, the father is getting ready to go to the office, the children are getting ready to go to the school. So like that, the Shiva Parivar was getting ready. So Lord Shiva, after he got ready, you know, he's asking Parvati, Maja Trishul kute gela? Where is my Trishul? I'm not able to find, you know, office jana jaldi Kailash Parvat pe. Where is my Trishul? So Parvati, she is saying that Apla Ganu ne ghetla. Ganeshji. Ganeshji. Kyu? Why? Maggie khane ke liye. So, you know, the Trishul which the Shiva Parivar is carrying is not for any silly reason. It has a very deep significance, you know. We understood the Tritap. You remember first day? Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika. Misery is caused by one's own body and mind. Misery is caused by other living entities and natural calamities. So that is Trishul that represents over here. Or the Trishul represents the Tritap. Then, the next question, which is very much significant, is where did we come to the prison from? Definitely, from the free world to the prison world. So, the free world is the spiritual world, which means we were all, the good news is, we were all once with Krishna in the spiritual world, but we messed up somewhere. Just like the inmates of the prison, they were all free citizens at one point of time, but because of, you know, some wrongdoing somewhere, some crime offense somewhere, because of which they were transferred from the free world, the spiritual world, into the material world. Again, I know what's the next question. Hey, yeah, what offense? What crime did I do? So now we'll begin with that. It is explained, Ichha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that we were all part of the spiritual world, but we desired to imitate God. Rather than surrender unto Him, we wanted to imitate God. So we had this Ichha, this desire that why only Krishna should be God, why not me? You know, why I can't play God, as they say. So that was the initial desire which led to dvesha. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Ichha Dvesha. Dvesha means envy. Then we started to develop some amount of envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, when we were not, because of that contamination, you know, like in the Christian theology also, they have the Adam and Eve, you know, the forbidden apple. Adam and Eve and the forbidden apple, and after that, then they were overpowered by Satan, which is again the material energy. So, it's the same concept which they also have in their theology. So then, when we got that contamination, so we were not eligible to live in that pure world. Even that little contamination which we had, we were not fit to live in that pure world. So, that independent behavior, trying to imitate God, brought us in this material world. That is the reason. And the example over here, I'll explain this. The example is, just like when a small girl, she sees her mother cooking. So, she goes to the mother and, you know, she's small but she has a desire, I want to cook like you. And the mother says, no, you are not qualified to cook like me. No, but I want to, you give me the kitchen utensils and everything. And when the child is too adamant, what the mother does? Buys a, okay, tomorrow you can cook like me. So what the mother does? Buys a toy kitchen kit. So what you see over here is a toy kitchen kit. So the toy kitchen kit is given to the children, to that little girl. And now the little girl thinks, okay, now I have my own kitchen kit. And then, you know, the little girl is busy cooking, busy cooking, busy cooking, trying to imitate the mother. So this example, what did you understand now? That we approached Krishna, I want to play God. Krishna said, no, that's not your nature. Your constitutional nature is to be by part and parcel. But then we were so adamant, so just like the mother bought the toy kitchen kit, Krishna said, okay, I'll create a world wherein you can think that you are God. So Krishna explains again in the Bhagavad Gita that the conditioned living entity in this material world is roaming about Ishwaroham, Aham Bhogi, thinking that I am the Ishwara, I am the Bhogi, I am the Lord of all, I survey, I am the Lord and Master, like that. So again, going back to the example of the toy kitchen kit given to the little girl, now the little girl for hours and hours is, you know, pretending to cook. Nothing is being cooked over there because it's all imitation. No real food, no real cooking is going on. But the child is in this illusion that yes, hours and hours, you know, seriously, you know, the small cylinder is there, the pressure cooker is there, and the fridge is there. And it's all serious business happening over there. Similarly, we see in this material world, everyone is so seriously trying to imitate God. I am the most beautiful, I am the most powerful, I am the most knowledgeable, and you know, like that. But then, what happens to the child? When it is lunchtime, then is the real test. Lunchtime mein kya hota hai? Ab bhook lagi, wo asli hai. Wo imitation nahi hai, bhook asli hai. To jab bhook lagti hai, tab wo bachcha dikhta hai, to khane ke liye to idhar to kuch bana hi nahi. Lunch time, 12:30, 1 baj gaye. So then, the child cries. Bhook lagi hai, khana to, bhook lagi hai. And mother says, अरे पिछले दो घंटे से तो तुम बना रही हो, खाओ उसको, तो कुछ निकला ही नहीं. So then, what the mother says, okay, now just leave all of that imitation cooking of yours and join us on the dining table for the real food. So when we are frustrated in our attempts in this material world to play God, then in that frustration, many people, they turn to God. That, my dear God, there is no satisfaction which I am finding in all of my sense gratification the first day. All of this, you know, my eyes, my nose, my skin, my tongue and all of that. I am not finding any of that satisfaction, that real satisfaction which, you know, I am supposed to get, the fulfillment. And then finally God, through His scriptures and representatives, tells us what? Okay, now just stop all of that imitation of yours and join me again back in the spiritual world. Where is your real home? The real enjoyment, the real bliss, the real ecstasy is all in store for you. Is that example clear enough? So that's how we all landed up here and what's all happening. Now, with this example, it's made a little bit clear. Then, this material world in Sanskrit is called kuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. And we know this word Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means a place which has no anxiety at all. You know, like there was this famous song of Kishore Kumar. Aa chal ke tujhe main leke chalun ek aise gagan ke tale jahan gam bhi na ho, aansu bhi na ho, bas pyar hi pyar. So essentially what he is talking about is, in fact, one of our ISKCON devotees, he is in Bombay, and when he heard this song for the first time, he was so moved by the lyrics of this song, he went searching for the lyricist, And then that lyricist, he said, well, I was just thinking of the spiritual world when I was writing, you know. That's it's only the spiritual world. Jahan gam bhi nahi, jahan aansu bhi nahi, keval pyar hi pyar hai jahan par. So I was thinking of the spiritual world. And like that, this person, he started to look for how can I reach that place, that realm which is mentioned in this song. Is there a place existing like that? And he came in contact with the devotees. We have the Radha Gopinath temple in Chopati there, Bombay. And now he is one of the initiated congregation members. And his search for the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, started with that song. So, herein, again, the literal meaning of Kuntha and Vaikuntha. Then, if we ask, what is the purpose of a prison house? What would you say? To reform, yes. If it, the purpose of a prison house was to only punish, then why the government is spending so much, this big huge, you know, prison houses, like I did once program in Pune, they have Yerwada jail, huge, and so much expenditure. If they had to just punish the criminals and the prisoner, they would just, you know, put them against the wall and shoot them in, you know, na rahega baas, na rahegi baansuri. Why so much expenditure and manpower and entire department? In fact, in US, this prison industry is one of the most booming industries there in US. So when I went to US, I was a little, you know, afraid over there, because then somebody told me that this is the color of the, you know, you saw one of the prisoners. So that ye unka saffron color hai prisoners ka. Thoda sawdhani se bahar nikalna, 911 phone kar denge udhar, 9 farar ho gaya koi kaidi, thoda alag hi kapde mein hai. Lekin so the purpose of a prison house is to rectify the criminal, not to punish. And therefore it's very unique how this material world is also in our Vedas called Durga, like prison house. That, you know, in a prison house, there is enough comfort given to the prisoner so that the prisoner should not die. Enough comfort is given. And there is enough discomfort also given so that he doesn't settle there. So the balance is maintained over there. So similarly, this material world is like that. You will find a mixture of enough comfort so that you can sit comfortably and attend the 6-session course. And there is enough discomfort for you to realize that this is not a place to permanently settle. So out of good intentions, you know, the prison ministry, whatever the industries, you know, the government, they design the prison houses in such a way. Similarly, the material world has been designed in such a way that there is a mixture of both which we can use to get out of this material world, the Kuntha, and enter into the Vaikuntha. Now, what's the first thing done to a prisoner? Kaise swagat kaise hota unka? Yeah. The first thing is change of clothes. So when the soul from the spiritual world comes down into this material world, the first thing is kapde. Kapde diye jate hain. Kaun se? Is jail ke kapde diye jate hain. To ye sare jo hamare sharir hain, 84 lakh yoniyan, ye kya hain? Ye alag alag prakar, just like, you know, you have different categories of jail. You have, you know, kala pani saja, you know, the dungeon. Hardcore criminals, you know, murderers, they are put over there. And then, you know, some burglars, you know, they have the C-class cell, and the B-class cell is just pickpocketers. And A-class cell, kiske liye? You know, A-class cell is for them, you know. So, it's still, the bondage is there, but facilities are more relaxed and like that. So, the devatas, in the Swargaloka, it's like A-class cell. You know, the facilities over there is all very comfy or comfortable over there. And then you have the middle planetary system. Like we are in the middle planetary system. Above us is Swargaloka. We in the Mrityu Loka, the Prithvi Loka, in the middle planetary system. It's a mixture of comfort, discomfort, both of that. And below is a Narkoloka. It's like Kalapani, total, you know, hellish conditions over there. So, change of clothes. So, herein, from Padma Purana, this verse is, which explains the different categories or quantity, if you say, of certain species. So, Jalaja means aquatics. There are 9 lakh in their varieties. It's just varieties, not the entire population. So, there might be like one variety of fish, Jalaja, and there might be millions in that one. So, like that, there are 9 lakh varieties of aquatics. Then, trees, Thavara, there are 20 lakh varieties of different kinds of plants and trees. Reptiles, Krimaya, which means all these reptile species, is 11 lakh. Then bird species, 10 lakh. Beasts, 30 lakh. And we humans, only 4. So therefore, now again, the same point which you heard the first day, that this human form of life, why it's so rare? Because the soul, when it enters into a certain animal species, say example, aquatic species, has to go through all the 9 lakh of aquatics, 20 lakh of trees, 11 lakh of reptiles, 10 lakh of birds, 30 lakh of beasts, and then finally we'll come to the human. So congratulations to all of us that we, after traversing all of this, 80 lakh of all of these other species, we have come to this human form of life. And what is the glory of this human form of life? That this is like the junction from where we can break through and enter into Vaikuntha. Whereas the other species, they don't have the facility. They have to just live through, as you know, we began today's session by answering that question. So, you find now so many different... So there are so many, you know, this Discovery Channel shows, sometimes you can't even make out that it's a living organism, sometimes in the aquatics, you know, below the sea. So there are 84 lakh different bodies, which means different dresses. Depending on the confinement given to the soul, the dress is given accordingly, which means the bodies are given accordingly. And just like for a prisoner, there are shackles. So what are the shackles for the conditioned living entities of this material world? The 3 modes. Now when we are talking about these 3 modes, this is not from mathematics. Who knows? What are these 3 modes which we are shackled by? Yes, goodness, passion and ignorance. So the soul is bound by these 3 modes in this material world. So herein you find these 3 modes: goodness, passion and ignorance. What is the Sanskrit? Who knows? Sattvagun, Rajogun and Tamogun. So over here you see those beautiful looking ladies. So they personify each of these modes. And you find over here, what you see is that how they are tied, just like puppets are tied and the puppeteer moves the puppets, they are tied with the strings. So similarly, we might not see shackles and strings. And we'll discuss how the modes which are there within us, they shackle us to act in a certain way. A person who is shackled by the mode of goodness will act according to the mode of goodness. A person shackled by the mode of passion will act according to the mode of passion and ignorance, so forth. So, just like the basic colors. What are the 3 basic colors? Red, No, red, blue, and yellow. These are the three basic colors, and the permutation and combination of these three basic colors, you will find so many different shades and hues and colors like that. So similarly, what is the differentiation of the 4 lakh human species? So you have one variety of human being, and this human being might have 60% of sattvagun, 20% of rajogun, and 20% of tamogun. So this is one category, and like that there might be millions in that one category. Another category, then you will have, you know, 60% of passion, 20% of goodness, 20% of ignorance. This is the second category. Like that, the permutation and combination of these three modes, it makes the 4 lakh different varieties of we human beings. So now, be a little attentive, because we are going to go into each of these modes. And we'll see, you can all secretly, within your mind and heart, you can determine that which mode we are situated predominantly in. Okay? So we'll look into the different characteristics. Why we are discussing this is, we perform our karma, you know, shackled by these modes. Therefore, we are discussing these three modes. We have not yet come to the law of karma. Okay? Mind that. We are on our way. Still the journey is on. So the first one, mode of goodness. So I would want to congratulate all of you that predominantly you are all in the mode of goodness. A big round of applause to all of you. Why? Seeking knowledge. A person who has this proclivity to seek knowledge, that person is situated in the mode of goodness. It's one of the characteristics of a person in the mode of goodness. Sattva gun ka ye ek lakshan hai. So purity, seeking not any kind of mundane knowledge, but seeking transcendental knowledge. That's what it means. Freedom from sinful life. So now we'll go into what is sin also now. Like generally, even if you don't know about the characteristics, but you meet a person, you know, who is very kind, polite, charitable, noble, gentle, immediately there is kind of goodness, you know, which you can see permeating, you know, that aura all around that person. And you also feel, you know, koi vyakti bahut ekdam sushil, bolte na sushil, shant swabhav ka, aur ekdam namra uski vani. तो आप भी जब उससे बात करते हो तो एकदम ऐसे लगता है कि क्या सारा आपके अंदर जो पैशन है वो चला जाता है उसको ऐसे देख. सो दिस इज अ पर्सन इन द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस. नाउ प्रेडोमिनेंटली वील फाइंड मोस्ट पीपल इन दिस कलयुगा इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन. एंड दीज आर द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटी. Now, what does this mean? Fruitive activities. That this person who is in the mode of passion predominantly, his mentality is fruitive. Kya? Fayda kidhar hai? Fayda kidhar hai? Usko mandir bulao, 6-session course, kya milega? Kya? Fayda kya hoga? Kahan par fayda hai? Wahan par. To, a person in a mode of passion is very calculative. You know, where there is loss, wahan par bilkul bhi apna kuch bhi mat dalo. Jahan par fayda hai, wahan apna sab kuch apna nyachhavar kar do, jahan par fayda mil raha hai. So fruitive, always calculative, profit loss mentality. And many times it is in connection with what? Money. Like there was a person who, you know, who was a weeping hag. Weeping hag means always weeping. So the friend asked, kya yaar tu har samay rota rehta hai? Matlab pichle mahine mere dada ji guzar gaye. Oh, acha acha, sorry sir. Lekin jaate jaate wo 20 lakh chhod ke gaye mere liye. 20 lakh? Ne phir bhi dada ji guzar gaye, rona chahiye. So again after a week he was अगेन क्राइंग. बोला अब क्यों रो रहा है? बोला अभी मेरे मामा जी गुजर गए. ओ अच्छा अच्छा मामा जी एक हफ्ते में? हाँ, उन्होंने 50 लाख छोड़ के गए मेरे. एक हफ्ते में 20, 50, 70 लाख? पता नहीं तेरे को रोना चाहिए कि क्या करूं? फिर भी मामा जी मर गए. अगेन नेक्स्ट वीक ही इज क्राइंग. अभी क्या हुआ? चाचा जी मर गए. उसे कितना छोड़ा? 30 लाख छोड़ा. तो 1 करोड़ हो गया. फिर अगेन ही वॉज क्राइंग. अब पिताजी मर गए. पिताजी कितना छोड़ा? पिताजी ने पूरे 50 लाख छोड़े. 1.5 करोड़ का तू मालिक? अगेन ही वॉज क्राइंग. बोला अभी क्यों रो रहा है यार? बोला इस हफ्ते कोई है ही नहीं मरने के लिए, सब मर गए. सो दिस इज अ पर्सन, द सेकेंड यू नो, अनलिमिटेड डिजायर्स, मोर एंड मोर एंड मोर, यू नो, दिल मांगे मोर, वॉट एवर, कीप ऑन आस्किंग फॉर मोर एंड मोर, अनलिमिटेड डिजायर. देयर वाज़ अ फिलोसोफर हू रोट अबाउट अवर ह्यूमन डिजायर्स. ही सेड, हाउ मेनी ह्यूमन डिजायर्स वी हैव, हाउ मेनी डिजायर्स वी हैव. सो ही सेइंग, इफ यू हैव अ पेपर टू जॉट डाउन हाउ मेनी डिजायर्स यू हैव, if you take a paper as big as the sky and a pen which has as much ink as the sea contains water in it, imagine a pen having that much ink in it, using that kind of a pen, that big huge size paper, and you start jot down writing down your desires, the paper will be finished, the ink will be exhausted, the nib will be broken, but still you will have your desires left out. So unlimited material desires, that's called the mode of passion. And obsessed with what? Lust. Obsessed with lust. And you know, the kind of attraction. And nowadays you find in this age of Kali Yuga, it's all so much on the physical level. What do they call? Love at first sight. Love at first sight and divorce at first fight. Like there was a, you know, the chief minister of a state who was visiting a mental asylum. So that was one of his, you know, routine patrolling which he had to do. So he visited this mental asylum and he found, as soon as you enter mental asylum means you can expect that all different varieties of species will be there. So he entered this mental asylum and there was a man who was hanging to a fan. Latka hua hai. Fan se latka hua. Chilla raha, Leela, Leela. And the chief minister asked, you know, the supervisor, kya hai? Majra kya hai? वो इसकी गर्लफ्रेंड का नाम लैला था, तो वो भाग गई किसी और के साथ, और ये बहुत बड़ा फैन था इसलिए फैन को लटका रहता है. चिल्लाता रहता दिन भर, यही चिल्लाता है, लैला लैला. देन ही गोज फर्दर ही फाइंड्स अनदर रूम, अनदर पर्सन, ही वो भी पंखे से अटका हुआ है, वो भी लटक रहा है ऊपर से, वो भी चिल्ला रहा है, लैला लैला. बोले ये क्यों चिल्ला रहा है? इसके साथ भागी. So, passion, you know, now of course, the story is getting, in Kali Yuga, it is becoming so topsy-turvy. Like some decades ago, if the boy wanted to marry someone, you know, out of his choice, so the mother would say, beta, theek hai, tu teri ichha se shaadi kar raha hai, kar, aisi bahu lana, जो है ना हमारे कास्ट की होनी चाहिए. देन आफ्टर फ्यू ईयर्स सेम मदर इज सेइंग, बेटा ठीक है तू अपनी इच्छा से शादी कर रहा है, ऐसी बहू लाना जो खाना पका सके घर पे. नाउ बेटा लड़की से शादी कर. सो So this is the plight of Kali Yuga. that's you know, the mode of passion. Now we have the mode of ignorance, and these are the characteristic tamogun. Tamas means andhakar. So in tamogun, laziness begins with what? Now here in laziness is not just the gross laziness, of course that is also there. Like, you know, I had a colleague of mine, and we used to have Saturdays would be half days when I was working. So this person, he was so fond of sleeping 2 o'clock. You know, he would come, we all would come back 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He would take his lunch, then prepare his bed. Sab curtain curtain laga dega, prepare his bed, and then go to sleep. And you won't believe, I'm not exaggerating, he would get up Sunday evening. Saturday jo dopahar ko soya kha pi ke, Sunday evening utta tha wo. Just to take his dinner, again go to bed. Fir Monday. So herein, on a gross platform, somebody who has that much stamina and capacity, so predominantly that particular mode is there. Now even you find people who might be externally very active, but whenever it comes to activities which are in the mode of goodness, like, you know, like this activity. So a person who is predominant in the mode of passion and ignorance cannot sit for a lecture more than 10 minutes. Restless, idhar dekhega, kabhi cell phone kholega, upar dekhega, restless, you know. So you will find that such kind of people, when the TV is on, they are totally with unblinking eyes, because everything is restless on the TV screen. So therefore they are steady. इसलिए बहुत बार ये जो ऐसे प्रवचन होते हैं ना, ऐसे सेमिनार, उसमें बहुत मुश्किल होता है जो रजोगुण और तमोगुण में. क्यों? क्योंकि इधर एक ही चैनल है, चेंज भी नहीं कर सकते. वहां पर तो क्या है, कोई बोरिंग है, चलो नेक्स्ट चैनल, नेक्स्ट चैनल, नेक्स्ट. सो पर्सन इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन इज ऑलवेज रेस्टलेस, एंड एज सून एज द रेस्टलेसनेस ऑफ द टीवी स्टॉप्स, देन ही बिकम्स लाइक दिस. सो वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट दैट लेजीनेस ऑल्सो. Laziness for things in the mode of goodness, laziness for spirituality, that also comes in the mode of ignorance. Then intoxication. What is the meaning of intoxication? Toxic. What is the meaning of toxic? Toxins. You know toxins? Toxins taking in. Andarliya. Toxins means poison. तो वो अंदर लिया, उसको बोलते हैं इंटॉक्सिकेशन. एंड नाउट इज यू फाइंड सो मेनी डिफरेंट काइंड ऑफ इंटॉक्सिकेशन. अ पर्सन हु इज स्पेशली, यू नो, व्हेन लाइक आई वाज इन द आर्म फोर्सेस, डिफेंस प्योर माल मिलता है वहां पे. सो नाउ देर वाज अ कलीग ऑफ माइन, हिज नेम वाज Prakash Kumar Ghorpade, you know, from Maharashtra. He was like, you know, he would drink like anything. Jaise bed tea hota na, aise uska bed rum hota tha. Utte hi shuru. So, and always Saturdays, because Saturdays would be, the bar would be open for long hours. So Saturday night, our Prakash Kumar Ghorpade would be seen lying somewhere. So हमने उसको नाम दिया था, यू नो, पी के गिर पड़े, उसको ये नाम दिया. हर समय पी के कहीं गिर पड़े, फिर वो पुलिस पेट्रोलिंग उठा के लेकर आती थी. सो वंस 31st December, नाउ 31st December इज लाइक, यू नो, लाइक वी हैव अवर फेस्टिवल्स लाइक जन्माष्टमी, एंड सो 31st December इज द डे फॉर मिस्टर पी के गिर पड़े. सो आई वॉज ऑन ड्यूटी, and this PK Ghorpade, he came totally in high spirits, you know, almost he had, might have taken 8-9 pegs, and he was, you know, not in his orientation, you know, perfect orientation. So I was just coming back from my duty. Said, "Ruk, Sharad, ruk. Dek, tu sadhu aadmi hai." Because I never drank in my life. Tu sadhu aadmi hai. Dekho, main ye sawal puchta hai. Jawab de, sadhu aadmi, jawab de. Labur. Maine paap kiya. Aaj, mujhe nark mila. है ना, नरक ने क्या पाप किया उसको मैं मिला. इज अ वेरी लॉजिकल क्वेश्चन. मैंने क्या पाप किया तू मुझको मिला. लाइक देर वॉज अनदर ड्रंकर्ड एंड ही was in front of a temple. So you know, the pujari of the temple came out. So this drunkard caught hold of the pujari. He said, "Maharaj, ruko. Duniya mein sabse kaun bada?" Pujari said, "Bhagwan bada." "Are Bhagwan bada to mandir mein kyun khada?" Pujari said, "To mandir bada. To mandir bada to dharti pe kyun khada?" बोला तो धरती बड़ी. अरे धरती बड़ी तो अनंत शेष पे क्यों पड़ी. नो अनंत शेष. बोला तो फिर अनंत शेष बड़ा. अनंत शेष बड़ा तो शिवजी के गले में क्यों पड़ा. तो शिवजी बड़ा. तो शिवजी बड़ा तो पर्वत पे क्यों खड़ा. पुजारी फ्रस्ट्रेट हो गया. बोला ठीक है पर्वत बड़ा. पर्वत बड़ा तो हनुमान जी के हाथ में क्यों पड़ा. बोला मेरे बाप बता फिर कौन बड़ा. अभी मैं बताता. दुनिया में सबसे वो बड़ा जो पूरा बोतल अंदर लेके भी दो टांगों पे खड़ा. सो यू नो अ पर्सन इन द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस एंड दैट्स यू नो काइंड ऑफ अ मैडनेस. That whatever the person does and thinks, speaks, that person thinks that he is the most knowledgeable, intelligent and whatever he is speaking and doing. So that is the third characteristic of a person in the mode of ignorance, that kind of madness. So now we find that there are other things in these three modes. Now you have food in the three modes. Food in sattva-guna. So these are, you know, like fresh fruits, vegetables, you know, milk, nuts, cereals, like that. So pulses, all of that, they come in sattva guni ahar. Then you have food in the mode of passion. You know, very spicy, very hot. You know, in Nasik you will find tarre wali misal. All everything is red, and people, you know, when they have that, you know, unless they get, you know, steam is coming out from all holes of their body. जब तक वो effect नहीं आया मजा नहीं आया. और थोड़ा मिर्ची ठेचा so that is, you know, in the mode of passion. Like there was one Britisher who came to India, and after having, you know, the Nasik missile, wow, you know, he called up his wife in London. He said, "Finally, I have figured out why these Indians, when they go to toilet, they use water." Because over there, they use tissue paper. He said, "Tissue paper will catch fire." So, you know, this food in the mode of passion, you know, is it burns when it goes in, burns when it comes out. You know, that is food in the mode of passion, hot and like that. Then food in the mode of ignorance. So all kinds of meat products, you know, what is it actually? Meat is what? It's a dead body. Like George Bernard Shaw, he was a vegetarian. So when he was asked that, what is the reason why you are a vegetarian? He said, I don't want my stomach to be a graveyard. Because graveyard is a place where dead bodies are buried. So food in that category, you know, all of that food, decomposed tail, that particular category is in the mode of ignorance. So food is categorized in three modes, sattvagun, rajogun, tamogun. Then you have music. People like different kinds of music. Like I remember earlier when the radio channels, now I don't know, but earlier the radio channels, early in the morning you will have bhajan, you know, Shastriya Sangeet, Sugam Sangeet, and then as the day would catch on, you know, all that, dakchik dakchik would begin, you know, passion. So, in the mode of goodness, the music is all classical and that kind of music. And then you have music in the mode of passion. You know, the names are also like that. Rock and roll, you know, jazz and all that, pop. So, that kind of music. Now, always I remember this rap music. You know, when initially when someone played it for me, I couldn't figure out whether this person is singing or, you know, rap, you know, whether he knows what he's saying. And in one breath, you know, like so many sentences in one breath. So I thought that he's like heavily constipated, like someone who's heavily constipated and, you know, he's sitting on the commode and the microphone is in front. So that turns into a rap music. So, now this thing happened that some of these rap musicians, once they visited a remote village of India and they found that in this village, the farmers, big loudspeakers, they were playing this rap music in their fields. And they were very much impressed, wow, our rap music has reached the remote villages of India. So they asked the farmers that what you liked in this music that you are playing big loudspeakers in your fields. And they said, we don't know anything about this music, but we have found out that whenever we play this music in our fields, none of the animals come to attack. You know, we don't have to use a scarecrow and all that. So, you know, music in the mode of passion. Then of course there is music in the mode of ignorance. And you know, there are these kind of music. They are called death metal music. You know, the names is very scary. Death metal music, and these kind of music which just puts you in the lower modes, the mode of ignorance, and it's many times there are no lyrics, it's simply just music going on for 1 hour and then one line will come after the music, I want her, you know, the music will go on for another hour and then after 1 hour, after 2 hours, the second line, you know, I had her. So, you know, yeah, there are music albums like that, mode of ignorance. So herein, what do you have now? Who can recognize? This one family has all the three modes. Ravan Parivar. So Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan. So Vibhishan is in which mode? Sattvagona. Ravan in the mode of passion, that is Rajogon, and of course Kumbhakarna obviously is in the mode of ignorance. So now we can see that the present world, there are so many things which people are into, and that determines the kind of mode which is predominant in them. The color which we like or dislike, the food which we like or dislike, you know, the kind of dress code. Like there was a teenage party which was going on once, and you know, the father of one of the, you know, teenagers, he was also sitting in that teenage party, and he was totally aghast to see what kind of a teenage party is this. So there was a person sitting next to him and he just pointed out, you know, I thought that he's a boy, but then I found out she is a girl. And the person who was sitting said, she is my daughter. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that, you know, you are the father. I'm the mother. So sometimes you will find, you know, the modes in which a person is situated predominantly, the choices, the likings, the dislikings are like that. So now, after understanding the three modes of material nature, now the fourth topic which we had taken from the Bhagavad Gita, Kala, the eternal time factor in this material world. So Krishna explains, Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krid Pravruddho. It's the ultimate amongst all killers. You may have had big killers like, you know, Hitler and, you know, Stalin, etc. But the question is, yeah, Hitler might have killed so many thousands and thousands and millions of Jews, but who killed Hitler? It was the time factor. So the time factor is the most powerful. In our Puranas, there is a story of one, you know, parrot. This parrot, one time in a forest, was very happily living, but saw Yamaraj passing by. Now, you know, Yamaraj is a person who is a lot of death. So, this parrot saw Yamaraj passing by and was very scared. But this parrot was all the more scared that Yamaraj, first he saw Yamaraj, but then the Yamaraj started looking at him. Now, this is something more scary, you know. Like, a thief looks at the police starts looking at the thief. So, the parrot became, and Yamaraj did some expression, you know, some strange expression which put this parrot all the more in fear. So, this parrot immediately flew, took shelter of Garudji, the king of all birds. So, Garudji said, at the most, Yamaraj, na, he's a lot of death, don't worry, you have taken my shelter, I'll protect you. Sit on my back. So, this little bird parrot sat on huge Garud, the eagle, the giant eagle on his back. And Garudji took this parrot across the seven mountains, the seven oceans, and there was a mountain called Lokalok Mountain, and a secret cave. Inside that cave, Garudji placed this parrot as a very secured place. And as Garudji was coming out, assuring that, don't worry, nothing will happen, you are in the most secured place, the parrot screamed in agony and died on the spot. And Garudji was all the more surprised. What happened? You know, I did my level best. Something to do with Yamaraji, the way he expressed himself looking at this parrot. So immediately went to Yamaraji. And Yamaraji, as Garudji is coming, Yamaraji is saying, thank you very much, Garudji, because, you know, the other day I saw this parrot and I was looking into the records that this parrot is supposed to die across seven mountains, seven oceans, in the cave of that Lokalok mountain ranges. But I was wondering, how will this little bird reach there for its death? Thank you. You know, made it possible. So that is the power of Kala, ultimate amongst all the killers. So herein you have cause of the cycle of the universe. We have Satyuga, Treta, Dwapar, Kaliyuga. Kaliyuga comprises of 4,32,000 years. Double of Kaliyuga was Dwapar. Double of Dwapar was Treta. Double of Treta was Satyuga. And that is cyclical. So that's how the time factor is calculated. And now, the four things which we talk about, Prakriti, creates the prison, which is this material world, and gives us the bodies, 84 lakh species, then controls us through the three modes of material nature and of course through the time factor. And now we come to today's topic, karma. After understanding prakriti, the three modes of material nature within the prakriti and the time factor, now comes karma. So these are the questions now which are answered. Just a kind of a brief recap. Who am I? Soul. Where are we in the material world? What situation we are in? The material body. What are we bound by? Three modes. Who is controlling us? The time factor. Who is watching us? Paramatma within us. So now karma, the law of karma. Definition of this first. Activity performed by living entity conditioned by three modes under the control and purview of time. So we have already discussed time, we have discussed the three modes and the condition of the living entity within this material world. So this is the exact definition of karma, activity. And what is the law of karma? For every action there is equal and corresponding reaction. We human beings herein are accountable for everything we think, speak and do. Therefore we must be aware of the consequences of the activities which we perform. You know, like there is this phrase that check your thoughts, soon they will turn into words. Check your words, soon those words will put in action, and check your action because that will become your destiny. So herein we are even accountable for all those thoughts and the words and the actions, definitely. So this is the law of karma, like Newton's third law, something like that. So now let's get some preliminary knowledge first, beginning with what is the definition of sin? Deliberate disobedience to the laws of God. And as far as beginning of karma, the knowledge of the law of karma, categorized first in two different categories. Good karma, bad karma. Bolte na, punya or paap. So, there are four pillars on which the house of dharma and four pillars on which the house of adharma stands. And herein you will see that each of the pillar of adharma breaks the pillar of dharma. That's how it is explained in our scriptures. So first is meat eating. This is the first pillar of the house of adharma, which destroys the pillar of dharma, which is called mercy. Then gambling, this is the second pillar of the house of adharma, which destroys the second pillar of dharma, which is called truthfulness. Then third pillar is intoxication, which destroys the third pillar of dharma, which is austerity. And the fourth is illicit sex, which is the fourth pillar of adharma, which destroys the fourth pillar of dharma, which is cleanliness, both external and internal. So herein what you see is the, you know, broad differentiation between paap and punya to begin with, good and bad karma. Now yes, this is very important to go further for us to understand that law of karma is only applicable to we human beings. Not if a lion is, you know, killing a deer and doing that, eating, so the lion is not responsible for any kind of paap, because the lion doesn't have the faculty like we human beings have, the higher intelligence, discrimination and all that. So therefore the lion, or any other species for that matter, there is no law of karma for them. They just live out their life which they get. Of course, it's all confined within that species. So it's only applicable to we human beings. So human form of life, as I discussed, it's like a train junction. So what is a train junction? From there, you can go to so many different places, different directions, different destinations. So therefore, human form of life is that particular species from where either we can go down again, we can remain, we can go up, and we can go to the highest realm. So again, you will find the four options for every human being in regards to the activity and the destination. So a human being who is simply performing sin will glide down again into the animal species. The soul of the human body, the soul in the human body performing sin again and again, will go down, glide into the animal species. Performing piety, which is punya, will be elevated to heavens, which is Swargaloka. But mind, it is still in the material world. Swarga is not moksha. It is still in the material world. Mixed karma, both piety and sin, will be reborn as a human. And one who performs akarma, which we shall be discussing tomorrow. What is this akarma? Which means activity which is beyond papa and even punya. Because even punya binds the living entity to get the good reaction of maybe taking birth in the Swargaloka or whatever. Still, the material body is given, which means birth is there, then old age is there, disease is there, and death is there. But akarma makes sure that we don't even get a material body. It's beyond pap and punya both. So this is how the destiny. And yeah, now this is very interesting. We are coming to the answer to the question, why do bad things happen to good people? So beginning with this. Now good karma cannot cancel the bad karma, and bad karma cannot cancel whatever good karma a person might have performed. See, they don't cancel each other's reactions. So if a person is very good now, whatever bad the person might have done previously, he's good right now, unless he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only doing some punya cannot cancel the previous papa, and vice versa. So this is a very important point in trying to understand the answer. Now, there is something called instant karma. Like you have instant coffee, instant whatever. So instant karma. Instant karma means you do something and the reaction you get instantly. Can you switch off this one? I have, you know, just some small 1 minute video. Now, first I'll show you instant karma. And then we have delayed karma. Opposite of that is what? Delayed karma. So this one is for instant karma. You do something and you get instant reaction. Instant reaction. You go out on the street, you slap someone, you will get instant reaction for that. So there are activities which you perform which has just usko band rakho, ek aur usko band rakho. Yeah. Activities you perform, you get instant reaction for that. And then there is something called delayed karmic reaction. You know, like post-dated check. Delayed karmic reaction. Delayed karmic reaction, sometimes the delay might be few hours. You know, like you have eaten something wrong, you know, in the evening. And the delayed karmic reaction will be next morning. You know, so the delay is maybe 8 hours, 10 hours, like that. So sometimes the delay might be not just hours, might be weeks, might be months. Because what, you know, like there is the saying in the Christian theology, they say, the mills of God, they grind very slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. So prakriti, the law of karma, it waits for the exact time to give the reaction, even if it has to wait for a life or many lives. It will wait for the exact time, the exact place. Now again, of course this is just an advertisement, but I found it relevant to delayed karma. I have another small video for this, for delayed karma. So you understood, you got the point, that's, you know, when he grew up, he got, you know, the elephant also grew up. So that's called delayed karmic reaction. Herein, who is this? This is Dhritarashtra. In the Mahabharata, it is mentioned about Dhritarashtra in connection with the delayed karmic reaction. That Dhritarashtra, he was son of a hunter. Many, many lives ago, he was son of a hunter. And what he did once, that a bird, a parent bird, he caught a parent bird and he blinded with using a straw, you know, like that. Very mischievous kind of. And then destroyed, it had laid some 100 eggs, so destroyed all the 100 birdlings. So now these were the two impious activity which Dhritarashtra had performed. Blinded the parent bird and destroyed the 100 birdlings. So then Dhritarashtra had to wait for 50 lifetimes to come to a situation wherein he could beget 100 sons. And he was born blind. So the reaction to what he did was delayed to 50 lifetimes. And Dhritarashtra, after 50 lifetimes, whatever little piety he might have performed in those 50 lifetimes, you know, gave him the benediction that he had 100 sons all in that one particular life. And all the 100 were killed in front of him and he was born blind. So Dhritarashtra from the Mahabharata is the example of delayed karmic reaction. So herein, my dear friends, are you now getting the answer to the question, why do bad things happen to good people? They might be good now. Like if I tell you, 20 years ago, I murdered someone. Just imagine, huh? Okay. They're recording also. So, 20 years ago, I murdered someone. And the police has been searching for me for the past 20 years, and just 5 minutes ago the police comes to know that I am over here. 20 saal se jo police dhoond rahi hai mujhe, wo 5 minute pehle police ko pata laga main yahan par. Police enters and arrests me. So now can I tell to the police, wo to 20 saal pehle kiya tha na, abhi to main acha aadmi hu na. See, सेमिनार अटेंड करो, अच्छी अच्छी बातें बोल रहा हूं, भगवत गीता, साधु बन गया हूं. सो व्हाट डू यू थिंक, पुलिस विल लीव? अभी साधु बन गया, चलो छोड़ो. जस्ट बिकॉज आई एम गुड नाउ, व्हाट एवर बैड आई डिड 20 इयर्स अगो, विल द पुलिस लीव मी फॉर दैट? दैट विल नॉट कैंसल. सो जस्ट दिस मैन मेड लॉज आर सो स्ट्रिंजेंट, व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ द लॉज ऑफ गॉड. सो नाउ if we take that someone who has performed a piety in previous life and for, you know, the specified time, because our this question always comes, to usi janam mein kyun nahi milta hai? Usi janam mein isliye nahi milta hai kyunki hamare paap karne ka speed itna hai aur jeevan kam hai, to itna ek saath humne paap punya kar diya hai, to fir usko carry forward. This is one of the reasons that it is carried forward in the next life. And the other reason is, just like Dhritarashtra's case, that material energy, the laws of material nature, they just look for the exact, what was the law of karma? For every action, we have an equal and corresponding reaction. So it waits for the exact time, circumstance, to give the exact effect of the reaction. So therefore you find the delayed karmic reaction, because of which they might be very good right now, and yes, they will get the good results of that in this life or in the future, depending on the delayed or the instant karmic reactions. But yes, according to the laws of nature, only bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. It's just a matter of time. That is the answer to the question, the topic for today. We are not finished yet. Then, there is individual karma. A person individually doing something good, individually doing something bad. So individually we'll get the reaction for whatever the person is doing. You know, like sometimes you find in an accident, three people survive, one dies. Or if he's alone in the car and, you know, alone he dies. So individual karmic reaction is given. Then there is collective karmic reaction. That people are collectively committing sin or collectively performing pious activity. So, you know, the laws of nature, laws of karma are so, you know, intelligently designed that say, for example, there is a animal slaughterhouse, automatic animal slaughterhouse, and 1,000 workers are working. So 1,000 of them together collectively are performing one sin, killing animals. So what material nature does? Agle janam mein un 1,000 logon ko ek plane mein bithate. Khatam. Collective reaction. 1,000 logon ko ek गांव में पैदा होते हैं वो लोग, एक गांव में 1,000 लोग पैदा होंगे, अर्थक्वेक खत्म. सो हियर इन वी हैव द एग्जांपल ऑफ कलेक्टिव कार्मिक रिएक्शन व्हिच इज गिवन. नाउ दिस क्वेश्चन डेफिनेटली वन माइट आस्क, इफ एवरीथिंग इज प्रीडेस्टिन्ड देन व्हाई शुड आई वर्क, व्हाट वुड यू से? Man is the maker of his destiny and man is the breaker also of his destiny. As we, you know, took that particular phrase, check your thoughts will turn into words, words will turn into actions, and actions then will make your destiny. So yes, we are the ones who are responsible for to change the destiny and whatever we want to decide for that. Now, somebody might ask, लेकिन जो ये कोर्स अटेंड नहीं किया उनका क्या? उनको तो मालूम नहीं ना, तो उनको तो माफी मिलनी चाहिए ना. Ignorance of law is no excuse. Like, say for example, you know, a cannibal from Africa comes to Nasik. You know what a cannibal is? One who eats man, human beings, cannibal. और इधर आके उसने अपना breakfast lunch शुरू कर दिया, काट काट के सबको मार के खा रहा है. तो judge के सामने, Africa में तो हमारा regular lunch है. बोला judge को बोलता है, I was thinking dinner, आपके लिए सोच रहा था मैं dinner. तो if the cannibal says that I was not aware that in India it's a crime to kill human beings and eat them. So, do you think that the judge will bichara isko malum nahi tha, chhod de. Ignorance of law is no excuse. If you are driving, you are supposed to know the traffic rules. Even if you are walking as a pedestrian, you are supposed to know the traffic rules. So, the very fact we have this human body, we are supposed to know the laws of karma. That's the reason why we have given the higher intelligence, higher everything, to know the laws of karma. That is our responsibility as a human being. Ignorance of law is no excuse. Now what I have for you is, you know, some time ago, this was a very wonderful article which is really, it moved me, and therefore I always want to share this with everyone on this particular session, in this session. Now this is, you know, after the 9/11, the WTC crash in America, and so many people turned atheists. So one girl, she was interviewed. And she was asked that what was the reason God, you know, all the accusations were on God. Why God allowed the WTC to be crashed and so many thousands of people to be killed, massacred? Why? So, what you will see now is the reply of this teenage girl from America. Very profound reply she gave in an interview when she was asked this question about the WTC crash. In light of many perversions and jokes we send along to one another for a laugh, this is a little different. This joke today is not intended to be a joke. It's not intended to be funny. It's intended to get you thinking. So it's really serious. A prominent American's daughter named Annie Graham was interviewed on a TV show, and Jane Clayson asked her, how could God let something like this happen? This is in regards to 9/11, the WTC crash. How could God let this happen? That was the question asked. So her answer, Annie Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years we have been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessings and his protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of recent terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when we complained we didn't want prayer in our schools and we said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. Because Bible says, thou shall not kill, thou shall not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we said, okay. Then someone said, teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. The school administrator said, no faculty member in the school better touch a student when they misbehave, because we don't want any bad publicity and we surely don't want to be sued. And we said, okay. Then someone said, let's let our daughters have abortions if they want, and they won't even have to tell their parents. And we said, okay. Then some wise school board member said, since boys will be boys and they are going to do it anyway, let's give our sons all the condoms they want so they can have all the fun they desire and we won't have to tell their parents they got them at the school. And we said, okay. Then some of our top elected officials said, it doesn't matter what we do in private as long as we do our jobs. Agreeing with them, we said, it doesn't matter to me what anyone, including the president, does in private as long as I have a job and the economy is good. Then someone said, let's print magazines with pictures of nude women and call it wholesome, down-to-earth appreciation for the beauty of the female body. And we said, okay. And then someone else took that appreciation a step further and published pictures of nude children, and then further again by making them available on the internet. And we said, okay, they are entitled for free speech. Then the entertainment industry said, let's make TV shows and movies that promote profanity, violence and illicit sex. Let's record music that encourages rape, drugs, murder, suicide and satanic themes. And we said, it's just entertainment, it has no adverse effect, nobody takes it seriously anyway, so go right ahead. And we said, okay. Now we are asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates and themselves. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say, but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes through email and they spread like wildfire, but when you start sending messages regarding Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar and obscene articles pass freely through cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in school and workplace. Are you laughing? Or are you thinking now? Funny how when you forward this message, you will not send it to many on your address list because you are not sure what they believe or what they will think of you for sending it. Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. Pass it on if you think it has merit. If you do not, then just discard it. No one will know you did. But if you discard this thought process, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. Now, do we dare to ask why bad things happen to good people? So that was a very profound reply which that American girl, she gave to that question. Why did God do that? So, in conclusion, we can never break the laws of God. Well, this sounds, whatever we have spoken, this sounds to be a little paradoxical. We can only break ourselves against His laws. So His laws are perfect. Whenever we disobey, we break ourselves. So the question now, what should I do? Okay, that was too strong. You know, you have just left me high and dry. What should I do after that? So, lifetime, this life, human form of life, is like preparation, and death is the final examination. So there are these three types of karma, the Bhagavad Gita explains. We have punya karma, which we discussed, pious activity, vikarma, impious activity, but we haven't discussed today akarma. So akarma will be discussed tomorrow, because that is the only way by which you can cut through the punya, the pap, and go beyond punya and pap, go beyond this material world. And that's how practical application of Bhagavad Gita, which is the conclusion of our journey, how to perform that akarma, which is beyond punya, which is beyond pap. And that we'll discuss tomorrow, our last session. And definitely, it won't be the last. In fact, it will be the beginning, hopefully, in our lives to get on the right track and head for our real home, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. As Prabhupada used to say, going back home, back to Godhead. That is the goal of the human form of life. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, yeah. Sorry? Okay. Can someone's pap affect the other family members? No. You saw the individual and the collective karma. So if a person is individually performing the karma, like, you know, in Ramayana the story is there of Valmiki Muni. He was a dacoit. And then when he once arrested Narad Muni, and Narad Muni asked that, do you think that whatever impiety you are doing, your family members are going to go along with you? No, they are not going to go along. You alone have to suffer in hell for all that what you are doing. So he was totally taken aback. I am doing all this for my family members. And So herein, we are talking about individual karma and individual reaction to the karma, and collective, both. Yeah, so individually he will get the reaction. Yeah, same with the punya. Well, as far as the Bible is concerned and the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments does mention, thou shall not kill. That's one of the commandments. But unfortunately, that has been altered. And it's very unfortunate, they changed it to thou shall not murder. Which means, don't murder means human beings. Killing means any species. So they say, so that's, you know, they kind of changed it. So even in these other paths, now the people, as we discussed the other day, that these prophets, they preach to people of a certain time and era. Now even in our Vedic scriptures, there is recommendation of meat eating in a very regulated manner. So it was mentioned, not in Kali Yuga, it is no more recommended in Kali Yuga. So the advent of Lord Buddha was for that reason. That people, why the injunctions were there in the Vedas? Because people were anyways killing animals and eating them. So what the Vedas, they did, that anyways they are going to do it. You know, just like you have, anyways people are going to drink liquor. So license it. Vaise bhi pine hi wale ho. Sarkar manya. Government licensed. At least, you know, it will be not killing them. So then according to the Vedas, there are injunctions by which, you know, like this word mamsa. Mansahari bolte na. So this word mamsa means that this is a mantra which according to the Vedas, the person who is eating that animal has to chant in the ears of the animal. What is this meaning of this word mamsa? I am killing you, next life you can kill me. Mamsa. I am killing you, you kill me. That's, and the person who is eating has to kill the animal and look into the eyes of the animal and the agony which is inflicting, the pain which is inflicting to the animal. And you know, that's how he would come out of that habit. But then what happened that, and also the Brahmanas would chant mantras that the animal would get a human form immediately, didn't have to go through the evolution. And the person who is eating would eventually get purified. So the intention was to somehow get that person out of that habit. But then what happened, the Brahmanas, this was before the advent of Lord Buddha, they became corrupted and they started eating meat. And in the name of scriptures, there was rampant killing of animals, slaughtering of animals going on. So then Lord Buddha had to come and establish non-violence. So sometimes you find even in scriptures, the injunctions are there, but the injunctions are there for them to get over it. You know, somehow or the other, to get into the school, the Vedic school or whatever, you know, that religion, to come out of that. Yeah. Yeah. See, as far as the plant life is concerned, definitely a person who is just vegetarian doesn't mean that he is not into the wrongdoings. Therefore, it is recommended that first of all, what is the food for human beings that's vegetarian, and even that has to be offered. So, tomorrow we'll discuss that. That how that food has to be offered unto the Supreme Lord, and when that offering is done, then whatever the sin has gone into, even the killing of the plants, is purified by that offering. Now again, this question people ask that then we can offer anything? No. Because the recommended food is there in the scriptures for we human beings, depending on our species, the biological aspect and everything. And only those kind of things which will help us come in the mode of goodness. Because eventually what the scriptures want us to come to the mode of goodness. So those kind of food articles which are in the mode of goodness, which puts us in the mode of goodness, which will help us to understand purified goodness, which is akarma, is recommended. That is not recommended. No, that is not recommended at all. They are breaking the Vedic injunctions. In Kali Yuga, absolutely it's not recommended. So I'm saying, whatever they are doing, they are misusing the Vedas, misinterpreting, and it's sinning. No, that's a different story, whatever they might be considered. You know, in India you have so many who are considered like that, but then you have in India also, forget about Nepalis. In India, even in holy places, and this is a holy place. Even in holy places, so that doesn't mean just because they are from a certain lineage that they are authorized to do anything. That doesn't justify. Any other questions? Okay. According to Manu Samhita, when a person has taken someone's life, then that person is punished to death for the reason that he should not suffer in the next life, so that the punishment is given now. So that's according to the Manu Samhita. But now, of course, sometimes even innocent people, if they are caught and they are punished, so then the person who is inflicting the punishment gets into the vikarma. So, yeah, because otherwise anyways he is going to get the reaction, if not now, in the next life. Anyways he is going to get the reaction, delayed. Let's have, yeah, some new people, let's have, yeah. Yes, the reaction is definitely going to be there, because you know the laws of God is going to look into, you know, you having the knowledge of the laws of God. Yes, what happens is they are very subjective. The laws of karma is very subjective, that you know, if someone is doing for the sake of someone and like that, so the intensity might vary, but the reaction will definitely be there. What if what? If a human kills another human, and a human killing another animal, which is more severe? Human killing another human is severe. Definitely. That's more severe. And again, it's very subjective. It all takes into account the reason, the time, place, circumstance. It's not just something very mechanical. It's not mechanical. So the reason for a human being killing another human being and a reason for a human being killing another animal is all very subjective. So we can just talk about the principles. We can't go into the details that, yeah, this is the blanket rule. No. It's not like that. Oh, too many questions today. Okay, we'll start with him. We'll go like that. Yeah.
Does human soul has a power to become demigods?
Yeah, we discussed. We can become demigod. It's a post. Just like you can become Prime Minister of India. Is it not? You have. You know, you have the fundamental right. You can become. Similarly, we can become the devatas. Okay, someone here?
Yeah.
No, it was, even if the bird might have done something, but Dhritarashtra took laws in his hand. Who appointed him to do that? So he was to be punished. Who is accounting? You know the placement officer? You saw that? Who is the placement officer? Yamaraj. Everything. And he has Chitragupta. He has Chitragupta, who is making all the records of whatever actions we are performing. So, bahut bada hard drive hai unka. Yeah. No. He is not justified for that. He will be getting the reaction. Tomorrow, we'll discuss. Onion and garlic is tomorrow. Okay. No, because they were doing directly under the orders of Krishna to establish dharma. So that was akarma. What Arjun did or the Pandavas did, that was purely akarma. Akarma is good, huh? Don't think that akarma is. Akarma means it is beyond punya and pap. It's direct devotional service. Yeah, you have something. Yesterday. Done by? Yeah, even in that case, he is taking care of that. Yeah. It's not a regular thing which happens. These are all exceptional things, you know, depending on the certain karma. Like even, now you might, this is something, a revelation to you. There is the ghost species existing. When people commit suicide, according to our Vedas, what they are doing is they are checking the natural death when they commit suicide. So the punishment for that is the soul doesn't get a gross body and it just hovers with the subtle body. And therefore they try to enter into someone's gross body using their gross body. So similarly, don't think that, you know, when somebody is coming out of the body and seeing all that, it's a, you know, it's a very good thing. No, it's according to the karma, because the karma is so complex of each living entity that depending on the karma, a person, like we are discussing past life memory. Now imagine somebody, if I was a pig in my past life and I would have the memory, I would be miserable. Khana khate samay to problem ho jayega. If I always remember ke pichle janam mein main kya khata tha. Both desire and what he deserves. Not just desire, what he deserves. So deserves, it depended upon the karma. Yeah, we were discussing yesterday, no? Out of body experiences. You know, all these Michael Sebaum, Dr. Michael Sebaum, the cardiologist, he has registered so many cases of out of body experiences. There is this astral travels, NDEs. Yeah, it happens. Yes. It's not a karma, because the officer or whatever the government, ultimately they are doing for whom? For the government. And definitely the government are not very dharmic people. You know very well, with all the recent incidents. So it's not a dharmic yuddha going on. I have to speak the truth. Over here, just repeat the scriptures. So I am repeating the scriptures. It's up to them. Sorry? You see, tomorrow what we are going to discuss, even if a person, for whatever reason, has to be in that situation, akarma, total surrender to God, total surrender to Krishna. This verse from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it gives the answer to this. Wherein Krishna is saying, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Even if you are in a situation which is not up to the mark according to the laws of karma, Krishna says, if you surrender completely unto me with your mind, body and consciousness. I will free you from all papibhya, Krishna says. Yeah, example is Valmiki Muni and so many others. So yes, it will happen.
Became a
Gokaran. Yeah.
And Gokaran relieved him out of that situation.
Yeah.
Can it happen to people of present times?
Yeah, why not?
Now, if a person commits suicide or is murdered, he turns into a ghost. His family members, what they should do?
Yeah, so this story of Gokarna and Dundukari, it's from the Bhagavat Mahatmya, that Dundukari turned into a ghost and then, you know, there was Bhagavat Katha which was going on, which was, you know, went into the years of this Dundukari, was turned into a ghost, and then he got so much benefited that he came out of that ghostly life and he was emancipated for that. So, yeah. It is.
Can people of this time do this?
Yes, why not? That's why it's mentioned in the scriptures. That's a karma. That Bhagavad Katha, hearing and chanting of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that's a karma. Yeah. Any other questions? Just last question and we'll finish with that. We can discuss personally. Just I'll take one last. Other species, they just follow their biological instinctive nature. But we human beings, abhi jaise sher hai, sher khali wo apna dal chawal khane kabhi nahi aayega. Wo naturally jo biologically usko diya hai khana wo khayega wo. Hum log dal chawal ke saath wo baki sab bhi khate. So therefore the 84 lakh species are designed in such a way that from the lowest species, you know, they rise and, you know, before entering into the human species, they are in these other species like, you know, the herbivorous and like that. And then they enter into the human species. There is no karma for animals. It's nothing like bad and good and in between. It's just karma. Whatever they do is just their activity and they are not held responsible for that. Not at all. No, not at all. Not at all. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I always have this session as the most interesting, exciting and all these questions I know. Because it's very much relevant, you know, all the three modes and it just shakes us up. So, yeah, tomorrow is another interesting one. Now, the key to open the lock, that's how to perform akarma. So, we'll have kirtan. Are you willing to? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. जय श्री राधा मदन गोपाल भगवान की हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे